Bassist Christian McBride is one of the leading lights of American jazz. A teen prodigy, he came up through the New York scene of the late 80s and 90s alongside peers like Joshua Redman, Roy Hargrove, and Benny Green after studying at Juilliard. So far, he's won 6 Grammys and appeared on more than 300 recordings. He also hosts the radio show Jazz Night in America, which airs on WAMC HD2 Sundays at 9 p.m., and is the artistic director of the Newport Jazz Festival. On Saturday, October 13th, McBride headlines the Pittsfield City Jazz Festival at the Colonial Theater. McBride spoke with WAMC about the band he's bringing with him, Christian McBride's New John.
I'm bringing my quartet, which has been my main group for the last 2.5 years now. It's called Christian McBride's New John.
And tell me about the quartet. Who's playing with you?
Josh Evans plays trumpet. The great Marcus Strickland plays tenor saxophone and bass clarinet. And I got the legendary Billy Hart playing drums.
Oh, that's amazing. How'd that come together?
A phone call.
And give me a sense of the quartet. What's the flavor like?
Well, you know, it's the reason I started this quartet in the first place is because the trio that I had with Christian Sands and Ulysses Owens Jr., we had such a good, I think we had a 4-year run with that trio and 2 albums, and it had such a strong personality, and Christian, of course, is becoming a star in his own right. I knew that whatever my next group was going to be, it had to be much different than the trio. I don't want to go as far as to say it was a 180-degree turn stylistically, but it was close to it, you know. So I decided to get something much more raw, and it's difficult describing music because I like people to just kind of come open-minded as opposed to, you know, telling them what to expect, you know, because if I tell them what to expect and they don't get what they expect, then, that causes issues. But I will say that it's a lot different than the trio.
So back in 2016, you were named Artistic Director of the Newport Jazz Festival. What's it been like settling into that role, and how do you think the festival went this year?
It's been interesting settling into that role because there's been a small group of musicians that have had to metaphorically work both sides of the fence. You know, as an artist and as a presenter / arts administrator or curator, if you will. So I tease people, say I used to be a bass player. Now most of my emails come from booking agents. And I'm going, whoa. Don't contact me about that. You know, contact the team, you know. But in terms of just being able to curate the festival, I've enjoyed it immensely. It's been wonderful to call on some of the hottest musicians in jazz right now and to call on some old legends that I think people need to see. Like for this year at Newport, I brought in Harold Mayburn. That was his first time playing Newport as a band leader. And, you know, things like that are just very, very important to me as a curator. And we're in the very early stages of putting together next year's festival now. So it's been quite the journey getting settled into this role.
So when you look at the festival, are you looking at it thematically? Are you trying to tell a story with different guests? Or are you just trying to see who can show up at the right time? What's the methodology there?
Well, it's if you follow the blueprint that George Wein established, that happens to be the blueprint of every major American music festival, including rock festivals. You want to present the best of what the genre can offer, and I don't mean just one one part. You know, it's not a straight ahead festival. It's not a funk festival. It's not a fusion festival. It's not a swing festival. It's, you know, not an avant-garde festival. It's all of those combined, you know. When the whole notion of genre comes up, you know, a lot of, you know, people feel strongly about those kinds of things. But I think George Wein did a masterful job at establishing what a jazz festival is. You know, you can have a handful of artists who are not necessarily known as jazz artists. You know, as early as the 50s, George Wein would bring in someone like a Mahalia Jackson or even a Chuck Berry. But, you know, that did not overshadow the fact that the core of the festival were people like Duke Ellington, Count Basie, Oscar Peterson, Billie Holiday, Sarah Vaughan, you know. So I've tried to follow that blueprint where you give everyone a variety of different things, but you never let them forget what the core of the music is.
Back in 2012, you worked with the great Paul McCartney on his Kisses on the Bottom record. What was it like to be in the studio with the Beatle?
First of all, I was surprised that he was there. I didn't expect to see him. Diana Krall and Tommy LaPuma were sort of the brain trust behind that recording. I got a call to come in and do a couple of tracks with Sir Paul, and I just assumed that we were going to go in and lay down tracks. And Tommy LaPuma said, "No, Paul's going to be there." And I thought, "No, get out of here. He's not going to be there." You know. And we got there, and sure enough, he showed up. Nicest guy in the world, man. He, you know, just a regular dude. You know, you would never think that he played in the most influential, you know, popular music group of the 20th century. But he just, you know, regular dude, man. He came into the studio, was very kind to everybody. Well, he already knew all of the other musicians. I was the only one he didn't know, personally, that is. And he was just very cool. It was wonderful working with him.
Say it's only a paper moon sailing over a cardboard sea.